Thank you. First of all, first I want to thank Dan and Ken about this possibility to come here. It's a great honor to come to this seminar to celebrate Bill. And I selected this background of this slide to symbolize the Atlantic Ocean, because of course I knew Bill's this classical works, which are mentioned many times today, this Madsen and Addy work, and also especially this annual review of entomology work from 1980. They have influenced a lot of my research, be like the Bible for me. And I 91, 92, I had the possibility to come to Bill's lab to work with this plant herbivore interaction studies. Together, I had worked many years with this mountain perch autumnal moth system in Finnish Lapland. And then it was the first week when I arrived September 91 to East Lansing, and then we're heading to this forest entomological meeting in Wisconsin, Cable, Wisconsin, and we make a stop on the lake shore, I guess it's the Lake Michigan. And then on the way to that meeting, we started to discuss about the forest insects, of course, and started to wonder that how frequently you hear in United States it's an alien species, it's an invasive species, whereas in Europe you very seldom heard this, it's an invasive species. And then we started to think that maybe something about in this issue, and these invasive species were a relatively new area for both of us. And really started to make this comparison about this invasions between North America and Europe. This is this classical study by Saylor about this number of immigrant insect species entering to the United States. And nowadays about 2,000 insect species, without about 2-3% about total fauna. And what's typical, that most of these invasive species, they come from the Western Palearctic, which practically means Europe, so that about 60% comes from the Europe. This is relatively old data, and nowadays this proportion from invasive species coming from Asia has dramatically increased, so that would be interesting some that could update this figure. But still I think that the most they come from the Europe. And of course gypsy moth, which is a very old invasive species, and then one example about the recent one, for example this pine shrew beetle, which was found in early 90s. And so this is the updated situation about this insect trade, so to say, between the North America and the Europe. So that up to date, there's from North America to Europe, there has been total 57 species coming from North America to Europe. And so these are Phytophagus forest insects, and so that we excluded this agricultural insect away from that data. And then, but from the Europe, 310 species have entered and successfully established populations in North America. So it's very dramatic difference in that. And this very common orders like Hymenopterans, Homopterans, and Lepidopterans, they dominate this insect trade, so to say. So this is a very clear imbalance, and we started to look explanations for this imbalance. And there are listed some potential explanation why is it so, and one obvious difference could be that there's a difference in the interspecies pool, so that there are more species, and that could, for example, in Europe, and that would explain this this trade imbalance. But actually, if you look the species richness between Europe and North America, north from Mexico, it's about the same. And if you look this herbivore fauna, so there's about 20-25% more insects in North America than in Europe. And then if you look this commerce trade between Europe and North America, it's very obvious that more agricultural products and also much more forest products come from North America to Europe than vice versa. So these two factors, they cannot explain this trade imbalance between this invasive, among these invasive species. But then how about this number of these potential host plants? It's of course very important for the new species coming to the new area that it has a suitable host plant. And there you find this kind of very dramatic difference, so that it's much more tree species in North America compared to Europe. So that much more coniferous tree species and much more deciduous tree species. And if you go to the within genus, there are much more species within genus in North America compared to Europe. And of course, helps this invasive species to select suitable host plant within the genus. And this is very obvious with the conifers, and also the same thing with the deciduous trees. The only exception is this sorbus of the mountain ash, which actually Europe has more species than North America. So that's what might be one potential explanation why it's so easy to come to Europe, to European forest insects, to the North American forests. And of course another potential, it is the number of trees, number of forest resources. And there are two times more forests and forest resources in United States compared to Europe, and that's also this kind of good potential explanation. So that might explain why there are much more species coming from Europe to North America than vice versa. But then it's more or less, unless we look to analyze the data, it becomes evident that there's also this kind of evolutionary factors involved in this pattern. And basically, why there are most tree species in North America? We are about the same latitude. We used to have this kind of quite long, this kind of common evolutionary paleoecological history. And if you look at the literature, the differences in glacial history between Europe, they can explain these differences in species richness. And it's this kind of very simple geographical explanation. So that if you look at the mountain changes in Europe and North America, so in Europe the mountain changes run from the west to east, whereas in North America more or less from north to south. And that has been very dramatic impact on the biota, especially in Europe. So that when you have this glacial periods, and then when this fauna biota must escape of this advancing ice, it's very easy in North America, but very difficult in Europe, because these mountains, they block these movements. And what has been the consequence, that there has been lots of extinctions during each glacial periods. And for example, what comes, for example, these tree species, we have lost, for example, hemlocks, which used to grow in Europe. Redwoods also went extinct. Mulberries, morus, magnolia, to give few examples. And Sauer listed that during last glacial periods, altogether 6 coniferous tree genera went extinct in Europe, and also 14 deciduous tree species went extinct in Europe And this is just one example. But then the next question is that how this natural selection caused by this glacial belt has affected, for example, this European herbivorous insects. Are there any differences in life history, reproduction, size, phagism? Are there more polyphagous or polyphagous dispersible ability, for example, or are they, for example, more effective in consuming or digesting their food? And it's interesting that I found this is the facts which Bill had sent to me some years ago. And here is we know very well this herbivorous insect in British Isles. And then Bill here has compared this number of Hemipteran groups in Britain against the number of worldwide Hemipteran groups. And there's one very striking difference if you look at this data, namely aphids. There are much more aphids species on British Isles than you expect on this worldwide distribution. And there's another comparison, so that number of species in the mine herbivore taxa in British Isles against the total species in worldwide. And there are two exceptions, Hymenopterans, so sawflies, and also dipterans. There are much more Hymenopterans and dipterans in British Isles compared to what you would expect. And this leads to our prediction that somehow this asexual and haplodiploid reproduction among herbivorous insects seem to be much more common in Europe. And they still might be other differences, life history, decay of action, and dispersal ability. And if you think, for example, forest insect, those insects which are this asexual or haplodiploid reproduction, they are much more easily to get established new population in new areas. So that also can be one explanation why this European forest insect are so easy to get established in new areas. And that's a consequence, probably, of this glacial natural selection which has been taking place. And I just take this kind of very interesting example about one interesting study published some years ago about this geographic parthenogenesis. And it's very known that the asexuals, they are much more common in marginal habits, like high altitudes or this kind of global altitudes. And in marginal habits, population often exists as a metapopulation. And metapopulation dynamics plays a key role in geographical parthenogenesis. And it's probably so that this glacial period, they have favored this metapopulation structure, fragmented areas, and metapopulation structure, and this has in turn consequently favored this parthenogenesis. So that one can be one potential mechanism how this parthenogenesis is much more common in Europe compared to, for example, North America. And then how about the plants? So that we know that also these European plants, they have very successful colonizers in North America. And this is really old but interesting comparison by Val Brown and others, so that they compared this early successional fauna in fields between England and Iowa in two years. And there's a very, very striking difference, so that in Europe, in first year after secondary succession, you have about 90% native species. Whereas in Iowa, there's just 40%, so minority, are native species, and 60%, so are invasive species, mainly European origin. And still, second year, it's a in Iowa, there's a 40% invasive species, 60% native species. And when succession goes on, then you get more and more this kind of same picture. So this indicates that that this European species, early successional species, are also very good colonizers. And also one interesting aspect is this apomixis among plants. So that that some, for example, this dandelions, they have this apomictic apomictic asexual reproduction. And for example, these dandelions, they are, this apomictic species are very good in this invasion to these new systems. So our hypothesis has been that perhaps this glacial selection pressure has also favored this apomictic species in Europe, which are in turn very successful colonizers of new areas. And also are these disturbance specialists like this early successional species much more common in Europe because of this high selection pressure and extinctions during these glacial periods. So my main message here is that when we try to understand this evolution of invasive species and understand this biological invasions also in the global scale, so that we have to understand this this evolutionary history. I think that it's very important. And our hypothesis, which we are planning to test together with Bill in future, is that this tremendous staccato of this about 12 glacial wave episodes has been very strong selection pressure of European time. So that they have favored, for example, this asexual reproduction, haplodiploid reproduction, polyploidy, for example. And then has favored among plants that they are this kind of disturbance specialist and they have this apomictic reproduction. And that's why they are so successful. And so during this Pleistocene and Holocene evolution history, European species are highly adapted to the quickly inhabited new areas. And of course still raises many these kind of open questions which are hardly studied at all. And what is really that we have not paid attention, for example, this aquatic freshwater ecosystem, this comparison between, for example, North America and Europe, and also aquatic insect as well. And also if we include this climatic change here, so that maybe are these European species more successful colonizers in climatic change conditions, or vice versa. You can make predictions in both directions if you like. And then this comparison between the North American and European bite are needed in order to understand this evolutionary, I won't put the emphasis on this evolutionary mechanism of biological invasions. So that next year, 2009, this will be this 200 years anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin. And I think that in too often we forget this natural selection and this evolution in explaining this pattern. So that's very important to keep also in our mind. So and in that sense, so thanks, Bill. You have been so mentor for me so for many years really, and this is as pictures taken in Finnish Lapland. Bill has been also interested in this adelgid aphid, so that I really hope that we have still many years to come and cooperate with this joint research. So, thank you.